Boston Public Radio. I am Jim Browdy, and she is still Marjorie. In the last hour, we talked face transplantation on humans. We're now going to move to medical care for non-humans. Joining us in Studio 3 is a staff surgeon at Angel Memorial. He's a New York Times bestselling author of The Patron Saint of Lost Dogs, and I love this title, Tell Me Where It Hurts. Dr. Nick Trout, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You know, that is a great title for a book, Tell Me Where It Hurts, because, of course, the animal can't tell you where it hurts, and lots of us spend lots of time trying to figure that out. It's like when an infant bats its ear. How do you? Are there new great advances when a dog comes to Angel Memorial or a cat or whatever to tell what it is that hurts and where?
There are a whole host of new technologies out there. I get all excited about this new CAT scan we've got at Angel that creates these 3D models, and it's like watching an episode of CSI. it's funny because the owners will ask me, you know, are we going to use this on almost anything now? You know, it's just unbelievable what we can do.
Like what?
Well, you know, we've obviously got, you know, we're using MRI very commonly. We're using CAT scans, chemo, radiation therapy, hip replacements, arthroscopy. There's just, you know, if you can think about it in your own healthcare, you and most of the American pet owning population will demand it in their animals' healthcare.
Yeah, I had an MRI this morning. I really did at 6 a.m. at Mount Auburn Hospital. And I know, I've done some pricing. I know how expensive they are. What's an MRI for a cat or a dog? What's that cost?
Yeah, so unless you were hungover from last night, you would require anesthesia for our patients because mm-hmm. it's a long period of time. Actually, that's one of the big pluses of this new CAT scan, that we're doing it with sedation, which is a huge advantage because it's so quick. But for MRI, if you're getting a brain or a spinal cord under MRI, you've got to add in the cost of anesthesia. You're going to spend somewhere up toward
$2,000. $2,000 just for the test. Our number is 877-301-8970. Again, 877-301-8970. Dr. Trout will answer any and all of your veterinary kinds of questions.
You have to sedate the animal, of course, because they're not going to go. The MRIs are like those little coffin things,
right? That's
right.
And so they're not going to just be quiet when someone says, you're still moving.
Yeah.
And you're doing absolutely everything you can to stay rigid.
Well, I think one of the big questions for animal lovers and pet owners is there was this 10-year-old chow, I think it was, named Tina, that got the bone marrow transplant at age 10, which cost the owner like $15,000 with the chemotherapy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for lots of people, even if they've got pet insurance.
Absolutely.
So how do you make that decision? I mean, you must have to counsel people all the time. You must have to be a social worker part of the time with people with their dogs with, you know, 10 years old and brain tumors.
Absolutely. I think all veterinarians wear lots of different hats. And my first goal is to try to give owners a sort of objective their options. That's one they really come for more than anything else, to know what are my choices, what is going to happen to my pet in the future, what can I expect? And to sort of have that sort of almost cold, calculated data, if you will. And then the next thing is really to sort of try and put it in perspective. I don't know what's going on in that owner's life. Maybe they live alone. This animal is everything to them. Maybe they've had experiences of loved ones who've had a struggle with chemotherapy, lost their lives to cancer, whatever. It's also very personal, and I don't know all that detail. And so I have to sort of wait to see which way this goes. And invariably, there will be that, what would you do if this were your pet?
Right.
And then it's that sort of delicate balance of your own personal experiences, your own personal philosophy, and trying to just handhold, if you will, through some of these difficult choices.
Did you say in an interview I heard in the last couple of months, I think it was you, who said there are pet owners and there are pet parents? I mean, the relationship, Marjorie Egan and your relationship, I'm serious, with your dog Harry is intense.
My best relationship ever.
It really
Nothing else has ever worked out till I got this dog.
That's right. As I've written before, you know, it's love without the risk.
Exactly.
because here you have a relationship in our crazy, hectic world. You know, we as a society are more obsessed with living this fantastic Facebook life,
right,
stuffing our iPod buds in our ears, closing out the world. And here we have this opportunity to spend time with an individual. It's easy. It's effortless. It doesn't require much in the way of conversation.
No,
you don't have to worry about a prenup. and it's something that I think our society has really gone toward.
And you know what they do? I mean, you know this. You're a vet. They look right in your eyes. I find that fascinating about it. Maybe that's just dogs, maybe cats too. But I've noticed the dogs I've had, they look right in your eyes.
Yeah.
They can stare at you for hours.
Because I think when we are with the animals in our lives, we pare down our emotions to their absolute essence.
Yeah.
And that's what is so appealing.
It is. It's what's very appealing.
Our number is 877. Well, you want to give the number?
877-301-8970. 877-301-8970. You can call the doctor to talk about medical advances, breakthroughs. Does chemotherapy hurt your dogs and make them sick like it makes people sick? Does it make dogs sick like it makes people sick?
In fact, they say that side effects from chemotherapy only affect about 25% of dogs.
Oh, that's not bad.
And those side effects, for the most part, are things that you can very much easily manage at home. And that's, you know, that's a whole new area that we anthropomorphize. We think of our experiences of chemotherapy and hair loss and misery and depression. Our pets are trapped in the now. They don't have a sense of, if I endure a negative experience now, there's going to be so much gain on the other end. And that's what's so difficult, because as a pet owner or pet parent, we have to step in and say, can I justify what I'm going to put my animal through? Because they can't make that call.
Let's take a couple of calls. 877-301-8970. That is Dr. Nick Trout from Angel Memorial, written some great books. We'll tell you the titles again in a minute. Let's start in Brookline with Jane. You're on with Dr. Trout. Hey, Jane.
Hello, Dr. Trout, and welcome, Jim and Marjorie. Nice to have you back.
Very kind of you. Thank you.
I'm a helicopter pet parent dealing with the delightful issue of anal glands with my dog.
Oh.
I know, delightful.
Me too. I have an appointment today at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the
vet. Take it away, Jane.
Oh, we love his front and we love his back. But side. But my issue is, I've heard that if one starts treating and expressing dog's glands, he will need to have it done more, like we used to talk about the hair on our legs. Is that true? And is there something I can do more naturopathically or homeopathically to help him with this occasional issue? Thanks.
Excellent anal gland question. Thank you.
Bye.
How about thanks, Jane?
That's a good question. It's not something for which I want to achieve any sort of local renown. but I would say the most natural, my own dog, I have a Labradoodle. She has this problem. I think any way you can add roughage to the diet, you know, in theory, the anal sacs are a vestige of life when the dog would mark territory. It's a scent gland kind of thing, if you will. And sometimes it's not very well designed and it can be problematic. Adding roughage to the diet in essence, hopefully will encourage that to empty more naturally. And if that doesn't work, then yes, as Marjorie will attest, you will be going to your
veterinarian
regularly for that to happen manually. And if that is still a problem, there are other surgeons at Angel who would be more than happy to surgically remove them. And that's naturally, you know, I think it is a reasonable consideration for these dogs with persistent, repetitive, painful anal sac-related problems. And it can really make a difference in both your pet's and the pet owner's quality of life.
So our number is 877-301-8970, or you can email us at bpr@wgbh.org. Sorry,
so if
Marjorie.
You're going to the vet for that problem more than once a month, you've got a problem.
Well, I think, you know, there's no three strikes and you're out.
Uh-huh.
I think it really comes down to, are you going there more frequently? Is it becoming more painful, uncomfortable, malodorous?
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get to that point where you sort of say, you know, is there an alternative that will address this that is less stressful for the animal than these monthly visits?
You two mind if we move on from that
Please
particular
do.
Subject?
Okay, we'll move on from that
subject. Let's go to Abington, where Rob is on with Dr. Nick Trout. Hey there, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent.
I just getting back to the cost aspect, I think it was a few calls ago.
Yep.
We had a cat 14 years. I know the doctor mentioned about his hand holding, if you will, with the owners. The cat was part of the family, and she has some issues. They had some great care, but in the long run, it cost us about almost $3,000. But it didn't solve the problem. She did stay with us for about a week or so. But as far as that issue goes, the family, no regrets whatsoever. Mm-hmm. In our mind, it was money well spent, if you will, because we were in that realm of having it for 14 years.
Yeah.
And again, it was part of the family. She was basically part of the family.
You're shaking your head. You hear a lot of that, right?
Dog. We ended up getting a dog. After that, I have an American Eskimo. After we decided not to have another one because of the trauma. But we discussed it. Now I have a dog, and she's great.
Rob, thanks for the call. You hear that a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's this horrible balance in that, you know, we want these animals in our lives for as long as possible. We have these medical advances to achieve that. But sadly, it comes at a price. You know, everybody, if you think about veterinary medicine, you invariably think about James Herriot, All Creatures Great and Small, and basically, I'm going to do something for you and you're going to give me a full English cooked breakfast. And those days are over. If I'm going to put a pacemaker in a dog's heart, if I'm going to repair a dog's broken back as an emergency procedure, I wish we could do that. I would tell you that veterinarians are in this not for the money, they're in it for the love of animals. And sadly, it is oftentimes it's expensive to get good animal health care. And as a result, it does give me pause about the future. And are pets going to become a luxury? Is pet care going to be something that is either first class or coach? And these things trouble me as we go forward, you know, because the genie's out of the bottle. This isn't going to change.
I wanted to ask you a question about status dogs, but before I get to that, what about insurance? Is it worth it?
You know, it's interesting how, you know, in the UK, pet insurance is very popular, very successful. I think something like 25% of pet owners in the UK have pet insurance. In the US, my understanding was it was hovering around 3%. It is increasing. And I've got
why the differential, do you think?
That's a fine question. I think there's many, many issues. Ironically, in a system of nationalized healthcare in the UK, they are more embracing of insurance. I think because they are not so familiar with how much medicine costs. You know, you and I get, you know, every day on the news, there'll be stories about how much the healthcare is costing. And I think there's a sense that this offers me as a pet owner a good alternative when I really don't know. You know, we're used to walking into doctor's offices in the UK, and if the doctor says do something, you just do it, and there's no, you don't see a bill.
I want to introduce you to somebody who called our radio show, our former radio show, years and years ago. And then this past Friday, we did a segment right here on unplugging from all your devices. And Michael from Munson called in that. It's 2 cents. Michael's home, we went out to his home in Munson, Marjorie and I both did, was leveled by a tornado in June of 2011. 7 days after the twister hit, he found his goldfish alive and blind. Listen, first you'll hear me and then Michael. Didn't you have a goldfish alive in 2 inches
goldfish,
of water?
Yep, goldfish is now turning 18 this year.
18?
Five. Yeah, it's a regular common goldfish, but he's blind and 18.
We're not going to tell people how much you spent on surgery. We know how much you spent on surgery for the eyes of your goldfish. Michael called our show a couple of years ago, and he said, and I'm going to get the numbers slightly wrong. He had this goldfish at the time. It was, what, like 13 or something? He spent thousands of dollars.
I think it was $6,000.
I think it was in Worcester, in UMass, the veterinary thing there. We both assumed he was making it up. We Googled the story, and he was absolutely telling the truth.
Well,
how do you it's a goldfish. You know, I understand the
problem here, clearly, is that Obamacare, I mean, what was wrong with Barack Obama? He did not cover
goldfish.
Cats, dogs, and goldfish in Obamacare.
I have to say, I get the whole dog and cat thing totally. But when you get to the gerbil world and the goldfish world, you're shaking your head. Why?
No, well, I would agree that that is my knee-jerk response. But
mine is your knee-jerk response.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but I've done surgery on chinchillas and snakes and exotic animals. The other day there was a little tree frog getting an X-ray. That they're doing, you know, that they do things like they'll do ultrasound on fish because they'll put them in a Ziploc bag and go through the water to do that. You can use special anesthetic gels on frogs so that they absorb the anesthetic that way. And so, you know, who am I to judge the emotional attachment and the value, the feeling you get from this goldfish, frog, chinchilla, whatever. You know, it's unique to that individual.
This guy is one of the sweetest guys I've ever met, by the way, without a shadow of a doubt. And you can see it when you meet him. We finally did meet him after talking to him on the phone. We went out to Munson. You can see the attachment to the goldfish.
Have a close and intimate relationship with a lizard at some point in your life. Didn't you tell me you had a little tiny lizard
that lived in a lizard.
Little box in your
I think it was
room?
A haddock, actually. So you were speaking.
A haddock.
I remember doing surgery on a, I think it was a guinea pig. It was an eye surgery. The bill was around $1,000, and I later found out that this was a woman who wanted it for her kids, her family, but she was going to miss a mortgage payment.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, that puts it in a whole new realm of where do you prioritize? I had a gentleman in yesterday who said, sure, I'd love to do this $3,500 knee surgery, but...
For what? For what kind of
It was an ACL injury.
Okay. For what kind of animal?
Oh, it was a boxer.
A boxer. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, he passionately wanted to do the best thing for his dog. He's got a new baby coming along. They've got two young kids. You know, he's got to strike a balance somewhere. And it's, he said to me, what do you do when you really want to do it, but you just can't afford to do it?
You just pass up the kids in knee surgery and do the guinea pig, I guess.
What do you tell your children, too, if they're old enough to be aware that daddy's putting down the dog? You know, you have to make up a story, I guess, don't you? You can't tell him daddy's going to kill Bruno.
Well, you know, I think I'm not taking it to the extremes of you know, an animal being put to sleep.
Yeah. It's
just a question of, again, this would be the ideal way to manage it. We have these technologies. This is an alternative that may have been very normal 30 years ago. I think one of the things that we've done as veterinarians is to, you know, before the old gentleman with his old arthritic Labrador goes into the vet and the vet says 30 years ago, you know, there's not much I can do. I can give you some pain relievers, but if the pain is too much, we're going to put your dog to sleep. Now we have driven the ball deep into the owner's court and said, yeah, I can do this and that, and I've got all these options, but this is how much it's going to cost. And as an owner, you're now faced with these horrible questions of how much is my dog worth to me and how far should I go? And so we've actually put the emphasis back with the owner, and that's very challenging.
Actually, Robert in Brookline had a very comparable experience. Robert, welcome to Boston Public Radio. You're speaking to Dr. Nick Trout from Angel Memorial. Hey, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
We did have a cat for 15 years. She was a lovely cat. Her name was Smudge. She was a long hair, white cat. And eventually she developed kidney disease. And she wasn't eating and was brought to the vet and said that she has extensive kidney, you know, problems. And so my mother had to make a terrible decision. It's just like, you know, they were both retired and fixed income. And when they looked at the cost of trying to get her back to health, which would be pretty much impossible, she'd never be 100%. And so they had to put her down. And my mother was kind of cool about it because, you know, she said, you know, she lived a happy life. 15 years is a pretty long life for a cat. So I think that, you know, if they have diabetes or stuff like that, you know, or definitely like kidney problems, and if they're not happy, and if it's like 12 to 15 years, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Robert, thanks for the
call.
Thank you for the call, Robert. I mean, that's a fair assessment, is it not, or no?
It is, but, you know, I did surgery the other week on a 20-year-old cat and took out a lung tumor. And
a 20-year-old cat?
Yeah, and this cat did great. And I've had – one of my best examples was a woman who came in with a 15-year-old standard poodle that had malignant melanoma that was in remission, and the dog had to have elective knee surgery. And I just said – should I be doing this? I mean, come on, how far do we go? And eventually, you know, she persuaded me. My dog's in otherwise great health, loves to run. This is everything to this dog. The dog lived another 2 years after the surgery. And she said to me, best thing I ever did.
You know, Marjorie, tell the story, Dr. Trout. I think he'll like this. In the Herald, you've told me through the years, when there is a story in the Boston Herald about cruelty to an animal as opposed to cruelty to a human, what kind of response does the paper get?
As a matter of fact, I got a call the other day from Angel Memorial about a little dog that had been abandoned. I think it was a little Maltese, a little white dog. Hmm. And anyway, people go bananas. I mean, it could be a person that falls off a building or a terrible car accident. A story about a dog or cat in distress. The phone goes off the hook. Everybody loves to help out a injured dog. But I wonder something about this whole dog thing. You have an adopted Labradoodle, correct? Mm-hmm. So that means you adopted it from someplace else. Mm-hmm. I have noticed this because I did a bad thing, doctor. I bought my dog at a pet store, which I've had to apologize for. Yeah, you know, because you're not supposed to do that because you're these puppy mills. My dog came from a puppy mill. I know I did a bad thing. But there is this sort of status thing going on now when you go to the dog park where everybody has to tell you, oh, what kind of dog is that? You ask Joe, and Joe says, my dog's a rescue dog. We rescued him.
That's right.
And the next person, my dog, he's a mutt. We don't know what he is. We don't know how old he is. We rescued him. Where'd you get your dog? And then I have to slink aside and say, you know, I'm a terrible person. I bought my dog because he was cute at a pet store. There is this whole thing now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So are people like me just disgraces for going into these pet stores?
No. How old is your dog?
He's 10.
Yeah. So, you know, that all changed within that 10-year period.
Oh, good.
That I would say people became acutely aware of puppy mills and, you know, that we really should be adopting as many dogs as possible because they're out there in all kinds of shapes and sizes and the perfect fit is there in these shelters, wonderful dogs wanting new homes. If I'm not actually distributing my business card at puppy parks, dog parks, I try to avoid that sort of one-upmanship of who's got the worst dog story and therefore my dog's the best.
He was floating across the Atlantic Ocean for 3 days before I rescued him. But I do wonder, though, that is perpetuated in the puppy mills by buying dogs in pet stores, correct?
Well, I got to say, you know, I think many years ago, Oprah Winfrey did a big expose on this, and that made a huge difference.
Marjorie missed that show, obviously.
I did miss the show.
But I would tell you that it is quite unusual now for me, and I see maybe a skewed population of dogs, to see dogs where owners have said, oh, I just got it from a pet store.
Okay. They won't admit it.
They maybe don't admit it, but I do get a sense that There's far more either professionally bred dogs and rescue dogs, shelter dogs.
Before I go back to the phones, Doctor, what's the patron saint of lost dogs all about? What are you writing about?
Yeah, so this is my my latest book. This is my first novel. Mm. And I have, you know, at Angel, I'm blessed to have these cases walking through the door on a daily basis. Heartwarming, heartrending, hilarious. But sometimes the stories aren't quite right. They don't end the way you hoped. The pet is fantastic, but the owner is kind of forgettable. And so in this, I've created a story in which I'm able to cherry pick some of the best cases, bend them in a direction I want them to go. So, this is all of those things that you're looking for in a pet animal book.
If you say so.
Well, only in that I looked at, you know, what works. The Herriot novels really stand the test of time. No one can compete with those books. One of the things that Herriot was young, naive, ambitious, and not new, you know, very new to animals and people. And so I created a character who is actually a veterinary pathologist. And for the first time, he's taking over a practice. And as a pathologist, he's not used to working with living animals. And he has no experience with those emotionally charged dedicated owners. He's avoided that his entire career. So in a sense, that's what I'm trying to create.
Sounds great. Let's go to Susan in Framingham. You're on with Dr. Nick Trout from Angel Memorial. Hey, Susan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Excellent.
My comment, which was earlier on how much do you do, I'm somebody who has Irish wolfhounds and miniature wire hair dachshunds. I know the way to Tufts University Grafton Vet School very well. But I think there's times when when it's too expensive, you need to also step back and say, is it too much to put the dog through?
Absolutely.
And that should always be your touchstone. Why are you doing it, and what does it mean to the dog or cat? You know, as the case may be. I just recently lost a 10-year-old Irish wolfhound, and after much discussion, we did do a 4-hour surgery, and he made it, and then turned out he had cancer, and that was it. But it was very hard to make that decision, not just because of the finances, but I just think sometimes when you're looking at thousands of dollars, it's too much for them to put an animal through because you can't explain to them that tomorrow might be better.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Susan, thank you for the call. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we embrace the animals in our lives like they're children, and we're not meant to lose our children. And so, you know, we're all always in the state of almost anticipatory grief. We're having to worry about that. And so I think, you know, you need to, as our pets age, perhaps go to the dark side to think about, what will I do? How far will I go? So that rather than being in that sort of emotional, irrational, scared moment of having to make these tough decisions, you've already started to think about it. And, you know, I always talk about the fact that, you know, something like, I think it's 25% of us are going to be kept alive in an ICU in a sort of hopeless situation. There comes a point at which you can die with dignity. And as hard as that is, how many of us have been to funerals of loved ones and the person in the casket is not the person we are trying to remember? You want that good real estate in your memory. You want to remember the good times. You don't want it to be dominated, sadly, as it sounds like this case was, with the last few weeks or months that just didn't quite go the way you hoped. And so I think if you are a person who's going to worry about that, then, you know, it is time to maybe step up sooner rather than later and think about these things in advance before it becomes this all-encompassing decision you have to make on the spur of the moment.
We have to hope they keel over in mid-flight at the dog park going for the Frisbee. Wouldn't that be the – maybe we should give them more
so
butter,
romantic.
Cholesterol.
Let's squeeze, can we squeeze one more? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes,
go.
Just real quick. Pit bulls. We argue about this all the time. Whenever there's a story in the paper about some gruesome mauling of somebody, it's typically a pit bull. There are exceptions, but it's a lot of time pit bulls. So what do you think about pit bulls? Is it the owners or the breed?
Well, I think, you know, MSPCA and Joel has a very strong stance on it. It is not the breed. It is the behavior. And, of course, the behavior can be impacted by the owner, the environment, other stressors in that pet's life. And so it's my understanding that, in fact, although pit bull bites get a lot of attention in the media, they're not even in the top 10 most common breed of dogs to cause bites. They just... their design is such that they create very severe bites.
Can I correct one thing? I can't believe I'm correcting a vet, but I'm obsessed with pit bulls. And while in terms of bites themselves, I think you're absolutely right, bites that cause serious damage,
exactly.
Pit bulls are right up there.
Right
but
up there.
On the flip side, by the way, Governor Patrick, who's going to be with us next Thursday in the studio, he signed the law that banned gender-based discrimination.
That's right.
But, you know, in light of the fact that the most serious – I am one who thinks they shouldn't even be allowed in cities, frankly, and I'm sure that would make you unhappy. But the reality is the breed itself is more likely to produce dogs, even if it's the owner's fault, to do horrible things to other human beings. I mean, they really, it seems to me they shouldn't be living where we're living. Is that, that's too dramatic a statement for you, obviously?
Yes.
I figured it was. Okay, let's take one more call. I'll try it again in a couple of minutes. Charles from Salem, you're on with Dr. Nick Trout from Angel Memorial. Go ahead, Charles.
Yes, hello, good morning.
Hey.
I wanted to say that we have a dog, a Yorkshire Terrier, who's now 18 years old.
Wow.
And he would not have lived this long if it wasn't for Angel Memorial. The doctors there, he's had 5 specialists there, ophthalmologist, dentist.
I notice I'm not listed.
Currently, Dr. Byros is his dentist. Dr. Kearns, who's given...
we don't need to know all the doctors. We got the cons. We don't need to know all the doctors. We know we appreciate their work, Charles.
He's
go
18.
Ahead.
Yeah, wonderful. But he's lived this long. at a cost of $23,000, which I'm very happy to give because we love the dog. He's part of the family. And I just wanted to ask, had Angel Memorial ever thought of maybe putting together an insurance package themselves at the hospital for the dogs or pets per se that are treated there?
I love that question, Charles. Thanks for the call. And you can answer the Twitter question, by the way, which was tweeted to us at BOS Boss Public Radio, which is which insurance plans for cats and dogs are worth it. So maybe you can address both.
Yeah, I you know, I get a lot of pets in with VPI is probably the most common one currently, but there are some new ones. Trupanion is a very popular one, up and coming one that I've been actually quite impressed with the amount they are covering for the pet owner. In some instances, sort of 80-90% of surgery. But in answer to your question, I imagine that if I suggested doing insurance to the management at Angel, they would say, we're probably going to leave that to the big boys.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fine idea. And I think actually, in general terms, insurance has to become a more important part of animal health care. Because the costs are just going to keep escalating as the technology keeps escalating. And we do everything we can to minimize costs, to give you great value for money. But at the end of the day, there are, you know, for example, like hip replacements. Angel and Tufts are, I think, the only places in New England that are doing these pretty much. Because there's no money in it. It's just expensive, raw costs. And we feel that this is a duty to our dog owners to give this as an option. But, you know, I think overall insurance may well be a very important part of the future for veterinary medicine.
Dr. Trout, thanks so much for your time and your books.
It is going to be a tough decision. Do my children keep on in college or does the dog get his bone marrow transplant? I really don't know. We've been talking to Dr. Nick Trout, staff surgeon at Angel Memorial Hospital. His most recent book is a novel, fiction, The Patron Saint of Lost Dogs. You can hear him tomorrow do a reading and signing at the Andover Bookstore in Andover, Mass. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Trout. And
thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you very much. Okay, coming up, we have surgery for cats and dogs. Next, it's surgery for statues. We'll bring you that story next on Boston Public Radio, WGBH.